Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother,
what's up? This is a
hey, Cuban party,
you?
Man.
Yeah,
I
brother,
can
like,
dig
like,
it.
Stop right on.
Mother, there's too many of you crying.
Very interesting. You're a true vulgarian, aren't you?
Playoffs?
Little roller up along first. Behind the back. It gets through Buckner. Here comes Knight and the Mets win it.
You're crippled.
What? You got a problem with my legs?
No, you've got a problem with your legs. Either that or you're just lazy.
They've done studies, you know. 60% of the time, it works every time.
Back to pass, pumps to the left, 8 seconds left. He gets away from the pressure, fires to the end zone. It's caught! It's Greg Lewis! Touchdown! Oh, my heavens! Greg Lewis, welcome to Minnesota!
A businesswoman.
I don't think that's a word.
I'm going to need for you to retard your anger level a few notches and listen to me. Can you do that?
Hold that. Hold there.
And this is your Making McCarthy Bring Lombardi Back to Lambeau Leader Blog Talk Radio and blogtalkradio.com. This is the Aces at 8 in what could possibly be an extended Ace at 8. I know there will be no second hour with Jakey because he is out tonight. And this will be our final night on Tuesdays when we move back to Wednesday night starting next week. But I am joined tonight by C-Mac.
Go, Mac, go!
Oh, yeah. What's going on?
Great. We're good. And we're also joined tonight, right at the top of the hour, by Date Zone.
I am perfection! Perfection!
I don't know why I wasn't consulted. I have rec league basketball Wednesday night.
That's true. I forget.
I'm going to be calling out of breath and wheezing like the old out of shape man that I am.
The world would. Who in the world would be calling me during the show? My goodness. Don't they know I'm important?
Don't they know?
Yeah. I'm an important one. I don't think.
By the way, I don't know if our listeners know that soon, in about 2 months, I can actually do this show in studio.
That's true.
We'll be living in the same apartment complex.
That's true. I just went out and bought a microphone tonight for when we do the live show on Sunday at noon from the Days Inn parking lot. In the shadows of Lambeau Field, from Green Bay, Wisconsin. It's going to work out just fine because I figured out how things work having a microphone, and I think we can all do it together now in the same space. So that's going to be nice.
I got the email or the text message from Teresa.
Yeah,
the caretaker or whatever the hell she is over there.
Yeah.
And should be pretty fun.
Now, what floor are you on? Well, I didn't ask.
We are on the first floor.
Okay, so you're on the ground level like we are.
We have a ground level corner. It's a ground level corner apartment.
Okay.
We actually looked at one on your floor in your building, but didn't like it. So.
Yeah, one actually just across the hallway opened up this weekend. I think it's a one bedroom though. I was bringing in, unless you and Tony want bunk beds, you know, that'd be fun for you guys to bring home dates. Tony, don't rock the top bunk. I'm trying
to combo, rubber.
That
won't happen very often.
Yeah. I was going to ask if he went bareback, but that's another good one.
Oh, that's No. Although I will say the line of the night from a few weeks ago was after C-Mac figured out that his girlfriend would be out for the night and not coming home, he said, and I quote, "Well, now I can drink a lot because I don't have to worry about having to try to get it up later."
Oh, Lord.
What he said.
It's funny, but it's also true. You know, it's tough. It's tough when you've had a little too much to drink. I apologize for my super sexy voice tonight. I'm a little under the weather, so that's why we're probably going to keep the show to about an hour or so tonight. Just talk a little bit of Super Bowl. Because I know, like I mentioned at the top, me and C-Mac will be going out to Green Bay Saturday morning. We'll be doing a live show from Green Bay Sunday at noon, about 5.5 hours before kickoff. Probably about 45 minutes. We'll see if we can get some bystanders to come hang out with us. We'll give out beads and beer and see what happens. But, it's going to be fun. I mean, we've been waiting for this for a while. You know, I found a similarity when we had Dave Sinekin on a couple weeks ago. He mentioned, he pitched the idea of Packer Preview to KFAN for 2 years before they gave up the rights of the Vikings to WCCO, and then Packer Preview came on that same year the Packers won the Super Bowl. You know, we started doing the Ace at 8 when the NFL season started this year, and that's when we moved to 2 hours, so maybe it's a little good luck omen for the Packers going into this Sunday. Yeah. Other fun facts, the Packers are going to be wearing green. They're 3-0 in the Super Bowl when they wear green. 0-1 when they wear white. That was the loss of Denver in 1997. The Steelers, they are 3-0 when they wear white.
Wearing their away jersey, so
something's got to give this weekend. I mean, obviously, it boils down to more than just what color the jerseys are, and we'll get into that, too. First and foremost, you know, the Packers and Steelers. This is the Steelers. The Steelers are trying for their 7th Super Bowl. The Packers trying for their 4th. Those of you keeping track at home, 4 is as many as the Vikings have lost. But I mean, who wants to go there?
Unmitigated cheap shot.
So, looking at this game, I mean, right now, you know, I believe, is it still a 2.5-point spread, or did that shrink, Dane?
As far as I know, it's still 2.5, and kind of what the fear among gamblers is, the reason why I'm making it 2.5 is kind of lame, is that now it will probably go to 3, and no one wants to push on the Super Bowl.
Right.
And I think it's going the other way. If it moves, it's actually going to move the other way.
I think so, too.
It's either 2.5 or 3, depends on where you look. And that's kind of boring, actually. And there's been some really interesting stuff. I think it's only been 3 or 4 Super Bowls that have had point spreads under 2 or under 3.
Okay.
Not very many. Doesn't happen often. And even the last one that was in fact, one of them was actually the Giants and Ravens.
Right, and that was
The Ravens blew them out.
Yeah.
And Vegas lost a lot of money on that because a lot of the smart money went to Baltimore. That's the most recent one. The rest have all been Super Bowls from the 80s and 70s, and even, I think, one of the Baltimore Super Bowls in the late 60s was 2.5. In fact, the Steelers and Vikings in the mid-70s, the Steelers were, I think, 2.5-point favorites when Lynn Swann had a really, really good game. So that's interesting, close point spread. A lot of really, really fun prop bets, obviously, because the Super Bowl has a lot of really, really fun stuff.
Yeah,
and it's amazing at how much research people do. For example, the national anthem will be sung by Christina Aguilera. And,
ooh, really?
And you can bet on how long she will sing it. Now, the last few times she's sang the anthem, she's been at around 150, 152, 154. I think you can bet the over-under at 152. And you can also bet how long she will hold the Brave on Brave. And the over-under on that is 6 seconds. And the last few times she has performed it, she has done it in 5 seconds and 7 seconds. So they're not taking any chances. They put the over-under at 6 seconds. So, you know, stuff like that. You know, my dad was in Vegas for one of the games, and he said, it's a lot of fun, but if you're stupid, you can lose a lot of money. Because the prop bets are really funny, and they're fun to do, but they're hard. I mean, how many passing yards somebody has, stuff like that, who scores the first touchdown. One thing that's kind of fun for the Packers is B.J. Raji, I think it's minus 150 if he participates in an offensive play.
Okay.
So you can actually bet on whether Raji lines up at fullback or not, because he's done that a few times in this playoffs. So, I mean, you can literally bet on everything, which is fun.
I'm looking at DocSports.com. They have all the Super Bowl prop bets up there. This is incredible. There's, I would say, at least 300 or 400 different bets you can make.
Yeah.
Who will score the touchdown, the first touchdown of the game for the Steelers? Mike Wallace, Hines Ward. Let's see here.
Roethlisberger is one of them.
Will Donald Driver score a touchdown of the game? Will Aaron Rodgers score a rushing touchdown? Who will catch the first pass? What will be higher on February 6, 2011? Andrew Quarles receiving yards or Jared Sullinger from Ohio State points?
Right.
All
right, things that you can.
Huh?
Yeah, there's bets like that you can, mix and match.
What will be higher, Emmanuel Sanders receptions or Rajon Rondo steals?
I got it. That's easy.
Put my money on Rondo.
Yeah, I would hope if Emmanuel Sanders is catching more.
But one of the bets that I thought was interesting is you can bet on how many turnovers, and I think it's 9-2, so like 4.5-1 if it's 2 turnovers or less, or I think it's 5 or 6 or more, and then you don't get a lot of money if you bet 3, 4, or 5 turnovers, because that's kind of the middle, obviously.
Right.
So that's interesting, because you can go two ways. You could say, well, Rodgers and Roethlisberger have both been very, efficient for most of the year, but then you have defenses that create turnovers. And, who knows what the nerves are going to be like. Although, I mean, Pittsburgh shouldn't have too many nerves, because they've been there.
Right.
And I know Green Bay is young, but they've got some swagger. I mean, they did what Pittsburgh did a few years ago. They won 3 playoff games, on the road. And that obviously proves that you're not going to get rattled, by a game. I mean,
right.
The fact that you can go into Philadelphia, Atlanta, and Chicago and beat all of those teams, it's kind of what Pittsburgh did. And correct me if I'm forgetting the order, but I think Pittsburgh went into Indy, New England and
Cincinnati was the
wild card at one point. Okay.
Yep.
So I mean that's they did that the year that they beat the Seahawks, and I know we were talking about how our generation is kind of spoiled because we've had so many good Super Bowls. That was one of the bad ones.
Yeah.
Really boring game. Didn't kind of like for me this one. Don't really give a shit either way. I at least think it will be a good game. It's obviously not the game that I wanted to see, because I don't like the Packers and I don't like the Steelers.
Right.
It isn't so much that I don't like the Steelers. It's just I don't want a guy like Roethlisberger to have 3 frickin' rings.
Yeah.
Because I don't want him to have to be in that conversation about greatest quarterbacks of all time.
What's wrong with Roethlisberger?
Well, I think that, even...
I don't know, besides the fact that he pins women down in a bathroom.
Oh,
I mean,
he likes to have
too much
chicks. Who doesn't?
The fact that he's just a piece of shit, and you can just tell. I mean, you
but
just
I don't think we'll have to worry about Ben Roethlisberger having three rings come Sunday.
But then the other option isn't much better for me either. To deal with Aaron Rodgers.
And there is your dagger!
I mean,
Rodgers seems like a nice fellow. Regardless of if you're a Viking fan or not, he seems like a nice guy.
I don't know. He's one of those no-Cal guys, isn't he? Isn't he from Northern Cali?
Right,
yeah,
but he went to, but Dade, you have to give him some respect. He went to Butte Community College, okay?
Yeah, and I forget who the player was. He really got discovered because Tedford went up there to go look at somebody else. Either it was a lineman or somebody else, and he went and watched a team practice. And he saw Rodgers practicing, and was like, oh, this guy might be okay. And then he offered him a – look, I don't hate Rodgers, but I don't want the Packers – I mean – It would be a rivalry if I can't fathom these Vikings fans that clearly aren't football fans because they go, you know, it'd be nice to see the Packers win. No, it wouldn't.
No, yeah.
You want to deal with these people that are Packer fans every time we lose because the Vikings aren't going to be good for like 6 years or something. You really want to deal with Packer fans like, we won a Super Bowl and we won another one. You really want to deal with that? It would be nice to see them win. No. They got one in 96. They're fine. They can go 30 more years. We need to get one.
And go Vikings, run out the door.
That's why last year's circle, because the Vikings are so
year.
Far away. They're so far away now. I mean,
well, I mean, hell, that's why we were Saints fans last year. I didn't want to see the Vikings go to the Super Bowl and have that. And I understand exactly where you're coming from too. So,
but
back to the line. It's a close point spread. It's going to be a close game. I think. I don't think either team's going to run away with it.
Are we going to pick? Is there like a bet you can pick like to see who's going to win the MVP? Is there like type of
I'm
bet
sure I'm there
guessing?
Is. I'm sure
and
there is.
I think one of the bets at like 100-1 is you can bet if a member of the losing team will win the MVP. Which
that's only happened once.
I know what happened once in basketball. I don't know if
it has only happened once in the NFL. It was at Dallas. It was in the Blunder Bowl, Dallas versus Baltimore. I believe Super Bowl V.
Okay.
I forget the name of the line. It was a linebacker for Dallas who won it, but Baltimore won the Super Bowl. It's going to be a close game. You know, you look at both offenses right now. Roethlisberger, yeah, he may have the experience in the Super Bowl, but. I think Rodgers has more weapons around him. And I obviously Big Ben has the running game in Mendenhall and Mwelde Moore, the former Viking. But, you know, Rodgers has four wide receivers that are going to be, I think, just balling on Sunday. You have Jordy Nelson and James Jones, who are clear-cut number two receivers on most NFL teams, but they're 3 and 4 wide receivers on this Packers team. Defensively, they're 1 and 2 in the NFL. It's gonna come down to who makes the most mistakes or who makes the last mistake. I think each defense can stop each offense, but I think each offense can, you know, march down the field and score. We've seen what the Packers have done to, you know, three teams in the NFC playoffs. And I mean, Pittsburgh. I wasn't convinced with Pittsburgh in the divisional round against who do they play? This was it Baltimore.
Yeah,
it was Baltimore.
They were down big early and.
Yeah, I mean, they fell into an easy hole. Almost walked into that one right there. They fell into
a few easy holes.
Yeah.
Friday night at Grumpy's.
Grumpy's, maybe the Palace. I don't know what you're thinking.
Oh,
you like
classy girls.
No, I don't know about that.
You like girls with real IDs.
But no,
I don't... are going to commit at least two turnovers because Charles Woodson is going to force a fumble, which will probably be him blitzing Ben Roethlisberger and hitting out of his hands, and the Packers are going to get it. And he is also going to catch an interception for a touchdown and ultimately win the MVP of the Super Bowl. So that's my prediction.
That's what we'll do. Before we leave tonight, we'll make a prediction and then a MVP prediction too. And Charlie and I will obviously probably talk about ours again on Sunday, but we'll get Dane's in there now or tonight. I think defensively the biggest key to the game for the Packers on Sunday is blitzing Ben Roethlisberger. You've got to pressure that guy. Clay Matthews, Charles Woodson. That's what it's going to take to win this game, I think. I think they say defense wins championships. I believe the Packers defense is going to have to play their best game of the season for them to win this game.
Well, I think what impresses me, I mean, obviously the Packers offensively are really good. The thing with Pittsburgh is they just find a way to just execute when they need to. I mean, the Jets completely shut them down for most of that second half, which can worry you. And then they just need three first downs at the end of the game. And they're gutsy enough and trusting and logical enough to throw a pass play on second and nine.
Right.
When any other team would just ran it there. And then on third and five, it is the same thing. And the guy gets open. And Ben, you know, he's frustrating because he's able to roll around and you think you have him and he just, you know, can keep a play going. But I'm really interested to see where this game can go because as good as the defenses are, a 38-35 wouldn't really shock me. I mean, it's played indoors in Dallas. I think they've announced that they're going to actually close the roof.
Oh, God, I would think so. It's 1 degree down
there.
Right. So it's going to be it's gonna be on that fast track. And I just think with 2 weeks to prepare, I just think both offenses are going to be really, really good. I mean, I really think it's going to be kind of like that Pittsburgh-Arizona game where it's going to be high scoring and whoever has the ball last is probably going to win.
Right.
I mean, or at least that's who I'd be most scared of. I'd be more scared if I'm on defense at the end of this game with the lead than I would be on offense because I think the quarterbacks are so good and they know the personnel around them. I mean, Roethlisberger, you could say Mike Wallace is good, but you could say Roethlisberger has made him good.
Right.
Roethlisberger knows where Bryant's going to be. He always can find Hines Ward. He knows where Heath Miller is every play. And it's the same thing with Rodgers. He knows he can go deep to Jennings. He knows he's got driver for slants. He knows he's got his tight end. I mean, they're just – both quarterbacks are just playing really, really good right now. I mean, Rodgers' quarterback rating indoors is 111 in his career. That is an absurdly high number. That means he's not throwing picks. He's throwing for high yardage, and he's throwing touchdowns. And
I believe indoors he has 27 touchdowns with 5 interceptions, so he won't throw picks indoors. So that's another good advantage for the Packers on Sunday.
Right, and it's just, you know, I think it'll be a fun game to watch. I mean, obviously for me, it's unfortunate because, again, I don't really like them, but I think selfishly as a football fan, it's probably better that that the Packers won because I think if this was a Steelers and Bears game,
ugh,
I think it'd be pretty boring.
Oh, I was saying, I think I told that to Charlie. I was just saying, you know, there's no way that the Packers can lose that game to the Bears because a Steelers-Bears game, that would just be depressing. It wouldn't even be fun to watch. I don't even think I watched the Colts-Bears Super Bowl a few years ago. I just don't think the Bears are that, you know, fun of a team to watch. It's just seeing them back into the Super Bowl would be awful. You know, this terrible Bear. We've been calling them. Why the hell not, you know, continue calling them terrible for one more week? But, no, this – the Bears – the Bears are who we thought they were. I guess to pull a good quote from Denny Green.
We thought
the Bears weren't cut out to be there.
And they weren't.
Weeks and weeks ago, and they weren't. I look at this game too, and yeah, Dane, you're right. It could be a high scoring affair. You know, the Packers might not be able to stop Rashard Mendenhall because you know they've given up. You know, obviously they've better games to running backs than they have quarterbacks this season, but I don't know. It could go either way. Looking at these two teams, you know, Mendenhall could have a big game, but then Mendenhall could be held to 24 yards. Who knows?
Well, I mean, and you know, Pittsburgh is down their center and one of their other offensive linemen. And I know they've at least had time to practice with that second group now, but that I don't know enough about Pittsburgh to know that is this going to affect their pass blocking more or their run blocking more or both. And I mean, both teams on offense, I just think are so good. I mean, it's a compliment to both teams, but I just think that they're both good enough that they're just going to find a way to just score. And I think it's not going to be a matter of what defense shuts the team down. I think it's going to be what defense can get that one interception.
Yeah. It's all going to come down to that mistake. That's what I think. I mean, me saying that gives my vote of confidence in the Packers because Aaron Rodgers does not make mistakes. At least in the last 5 weeks, he hasn't made a mistake that has really hurt his team.
It's going to be fun to watch the Packers defense go, like, for instance, Clay Matthews against Flozo Adams. He's a guy who's always gotten, you know, penalties called on him, like, in the past. And I think he's just going to be – Clay Matthews is just way too quick for him. So it's going to be fun to see him get to Big Ben and stuff. I think he's going to be able to pretty easily.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I think looking at their, you know, it's a completely different offensive line than the Packers faced last year when they that 37, 36, whatever it was, game in Pittsburgh. There are five different guys on the offensive line right now. That is saying if Pouncey does indeed play, which I guess he's 75% chance he's going to play, according to Mike Tomlin. I don't think he'll play. I think with Pouncey out and they're holding out hope for Aaron Smith on defense. I don't think he'll play either. Those are two huge, no pun intended, but I mean, two huge guys that are going to be missed if they don't play on Sunday. And
I thought Smith has been out for a while.
Smith's been out since week five.
Year.
Yeah. But
so,
Pouncey is a much bigger loss than Smith,
right,
because
obviously
you play without him, and you
play the whole year
without him. But your center, I mean, obviously that kind of makes everything work up there. I mean, you saw how bad the Vikings were
at Burke.
Well, not even Burke, but even when Sullivan was hurt this year, which he was.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, Burke was good, but Sullivan was just fine last year.
Mm.
And then, I mean, because it's a huge, you know, comfort thing with the quarterback, and the center's got to call out the linebackers blitzing, and we all know how much Green Bay likes the blitz, so, you know, that's going to be a huge part, which is why, you know, one of the bets you can make is total amount of sacks, and I think that goes over, because I think Green Bay is going to get to Ben at least three or four times, and Roethlisberger might be told, hey, let's take a sack or two early because we don't want to make that critical error. You don't want to throw one to Tremont Williams and let him break for six. And Rodgers might be told the same thing early. You know, let's take a sack early so we're not throwing, you know, that costly, you know, pick six that's just going to get, you know, give that team life.
Yeah.
And it's just it's interesting because this is one of the first years I can remember in a while where you've got such veteran teams there. I know the Packers haven't been there, but they come off to me as a team that's got swagger. It's not like, you know, the Saints last year. Like, no one on the Saints had ever really been there. You know, you got Breeze and Bush and guys like that that have good players, never been there, obviously. Against a team like the Colts, Peyton Manning finally got one. And then, you know, whereas this year you've got kind of the same. You've got the Steelers that have been there. And their coach, even under Tomlin, they've won one under Tomlin, and they won one without him. And Ben and Hines Ward, and they might have even had Heath Miller for all three of them. I'm not sure.
Yeah, they have.
And Palomaro's been there for all three of them, and Harrison's been there for at least two of them. I mean, they've got guys that have been there. So maybe we won't see as much of those kind of nerves that we saw last year, because it's just going to be, you know, two good teams that are there. And obviously, I'm kind of curious to see who wins the battle of the fans, too, because both teams, you know, are known to have fans all over that travel really, really, really well.
Right.
I guess a lot of teams, the Packers and the Steelers, could be 60-70% because their fans would go in droves.
And we'll be able
and
to...
Now, right. And now this year, it's, you know, not the case. I mean, when the Packers... Or when the Steelers played the Seahawks, I mean, that place was like a home game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll be able to tell too, because I believe the Packers will have yellow towels and the Steelers will have black towels. They won't have a terrible towel; it'll be a black.
Is that how they're doing it?
A black version of the terrible towel. So, because I know that in, you know, Charlie, in when we were at the playoff game, you know, 3 years ago, we had they gave us yellow towels. So,
yep.
Ironically enough, both made at the same factory in I believe Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. Not
it's not Chippewa Falls. It's some place. It starts with a C. I forget what it is. It's not Chippewa Falls though.
Starts with a C though.
Cuttenragville, Wisconsin.
Well, there's the Dane class.
Yeah,
I
think that's what it was. Yeah, you are correct.
I'd hate to be the mayor of that town. I mean,
that town sucks.
I think it's Adam West who's the mayor of that town.
Adam West. Oh, Jesus.
Probably is. Tooling out. No, I mean, that's cool. I don't know how many of you guys are watching basketball tonight. Wisconsin just beat Purdue in a very close game.
Okay.
At Wisconsin, and that actually kind of sucks for the Gophers because we probably wanted Purdue to win because if Purdue won, we would have been tied for third. And we've beaten Purdue,
right?
Which helps. But I think the Gophers are in trouble because they're not going to be able to beat good teams with Hoffauer playing point guard,
right?
Because it takes your best shooter away because now he can't shoot, and he's not a real, you know, he knows what he's doing, but he's not a you know, he's not Nolan. He's not going to drive and slash to the hole and drive and kick and play, you know, lockdown defense on a guy. I mean, he's Hoffauer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, once Nolan went down, the team was kind of exposed. I think that, you know, Nolan was kind of keeping it together, you know, after losing DeVoe Joseph. And, you see guys like Ralph Sampson and Colton Iverson are two very good big men for the Gophers. But, yeah, you need someone to control all that. And Al Nolan was the right guy for that job, not Blake Hoffauer.
Well, and because when Hoffauer's a point guard, you know, teams just pack it in because, I mean, it's almost embarrassing how wide open Rodney Williams is when he shoots threes. And the reason he's that open is because teams know. I mean, any time a player tells me when he takes a three and I'm like, why are you shooting that? He goes, because I was open. Well, there's a reason you're open, because they know that, you know, that's not, you know, what, I mean, I think at one point, Rodney Williams missed 17 three-pointers in a row this year. I mean, he's just, that's not his game.
And we don't have that. And now teams can just pack it in on Ralph and Trevor and Colton. And now, you know, we don't have that inside-outside balance anymore. And that's what really sucks is you don't have that guy that can, you know, you always hear that annoying broadcaster on TV goes, go stretch the defense.
Yeah.
Well, that's what you need to do, and right now the Gophers can't. I mean, Purdue sat every guy would just stand right below the foul line because they knew outside of Blake, who was playing point guard, no one else, you know, none of our guys can shoot up there. Actually, the only guy that can really shoot up there is Ralph. You know, but so that kind of sucks.
Who's the best team in college basketball right now? I mean, I'm a big fan. I'm always a big fan of Syracuse. They're always exciting to watch, but they've lost four straight now. I believe they're ranked one ranking ahead of the Gophers. Duke just lost to the fantastic hairstyled Steve Lavin's St. John's crew on Saturday. I mean, who are the top four teams? Who are going to be the number one seeds come tournament time?
Well, Ohio State, obviously, is the only team that's unbeaten right now. As much as I hate to say it because I don't like them and I really don't like their coach, the Texas Longhorns are playing really, really good right now.
Okay.
They just went into A&M and won by like 30, and it wasn't even that close. And then Kansas, even though they lost, Texas also won at Kansas last week. But that's Kansas's only loss. They're still right there. And then you get into who that other number one would be. And then there's some debate because Duke, you can still say, Duke is still there. Then you've got those two teams from the Mountain West, both BYU and San Diego State. I think BYU has lost twice, and San Diego State's only loss is
once to BYU
at their place. So those two are both up there, and then Pittsburgh is 20-2,
okay.
And they don't have a bad loss either. They're actually right now ranked fourth in both polls. They did lose at home to Notre Dame by 5, which is a pretty bad loss. And then they lost to Tennessee on a neutral court. So they're 20-2, and that includes beating Syracuse, beating Georgetown, beating Marquette. Obviously, they've got a ways to go. They've got a big schedule left. They still have Nova twice. They got to play Louisville once. They've already beaten UConn. So Pittsburgh's up there. I mean, the latest bracketology had 11 Big East teams in it. So that's still obviously a really good conference, a really deep conference. You know, there's rumors now like, okay, if you go 6-10 in the Big East, or I think they play 16 games because they play everybody once. If you go 6-10 or maybe it's 8-10 in the Big East, is that good enough to get in? And a lot of people will say, yes, it is. Because the conference is that good and it's that deep, whereas the ACC is really bad this year. And, in fact, the latest bracketology has the Gophers as a as a 3 seed.
Really?
The Gophers would be a 3, and they would play The Gophers were a 6, and they would play Virginia Tech first.
Yeah, I saw them being a 7 seed on CNNSI.com and
okay.
Going
in. Yeah, they're probably, right around there. 6 or 7, if they can get a few more wins, then they can be a 5.
Again, they've got a game tomorrow at Indiana, who record-wise aren't that great, but they're playing better. They beat Illinois. They almost beat a struggling, but there's still the name of Michigan State. So they're playing better. Gophers, so far, knock on wood, haven't beaten some of these great teams, but they haven't had that bad loss yet.
That's true. Well, they did.
Except for that non-conference home game against Virginia. But as far as conference basketball, you know, they've lost on the road to Wisconsin, Purdue, Ohio State, and Michigan State.
Right.
And none of those losses are really going to kill you. They haven't had that loss to Michigan yet, to Northwestern, to Iowa, to Indiana, and they haven't lost at home yet. Granted, they've played one good team at home so far with Purdue, and they beat them. So, I mean, it's an obvious statement, but if the Gophers win every conference home game, which would include Ohio State here on Sunday, which will be a really fun game, and hopefully the Gophers can show up and, you know, play well, you know, then it could be like a 4 or 5, because then they, you know, again, it sucked that Wisconsin lost tonight, because Wisconsin is 7-3 now in the conference, or maybe they're even 8-3 now, and we're sitting at, we are 6-4, or no, we are 5-4 right now. But so
yeah,
far they've beaten who they're supposed to beat, and unfortunately they've only gotten one win against, out of those 5 really hard games, they've only gotten one of them so far.
So, well, yeah, I mean, it's, well, I think we'll touch more on college basketball in the coming weeks, because I get excited when tournament time starts. It's one of my favorite, I think aside from the Super Bowl and probably, you know, baseball playoffs, I love tournament time. Just fun to watch so many good games. I touched on this about a year ago, and I just mentioned it because I believe this was in the proposal stage, but, before we get into our Super Bowl picks to end the show, I know we end the show with a preposterous story and the whole thing right there. This isn't it. I've got another story that I'll do later. But Allen, Texas has approved a $60 million high school football stadium that comes equipped with a video scoreboard, two-level press box with film deck and observation deck, the home side reserve seating with seat backs, 1,500 additional parking spaces for 4,500 parking spaces, 18,000-seat stadium with upper deck seating including 5,000 reserve, 2,700 GA, 4,000 students, 5,300 visitors, and 1,000 people for band. Their current stadium is 8,000 was built 30 years ago. This is insane. I mean, I'm just looking at the picture of this. This is a school of 5,000 students. And it's a $60 million stadium. And that's more than the dome cost when it opened. I mean, looking at the stadium, this would be a nice little, you know, nice little digs for the Vikings to play at, if I'm not mistaken here.
They should be able to sell every game if they had that, shouldn't they?
No, the Vikings would have no trouble.
I don't think it's that. I mean, yes, it's nuts, but also, high school football in Texas is crazy.
Yes.
And I also wonder how much they're going to be able to use that stadium for, you know, like sectional playoff games, like neutral site games, if they can use it for soccer stuff. I mean, hopefully they can create other uses for it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, It was approved by the people that live there and by the people that are going to actually pay for it. So,
and that's the thing. Yeah, it's straight out of, you know, Friday Night Lights.
First of all, let's not pretend that Allen, Texas is, you know, Brooklyn Center, Minnesota.
Right.
Allen, Texas is, you know, a very nice place to live.
People have some oil money there.
Yeah.
So if that's what they want to spend their money on, you know, instead of maybe, you know, better classrooms, better lab equipment for a science class, if they really want to spend on a football stadium, then so be it. I mean, we don't have much right to tell them not to. It's their money. I don't know the whole situation in Allen, Texas. I don't know what their test scores are like, things like that. But I'd be a little more miffed and worried if it came out that, you know, their ACT tests are really low, and maybe they are. We have no idea. But at the end of the day, if they want to spend their money on it, just go to the show. I mean, where I coach in St. Anthony, we try to get a very, very modest sports facility thing built with taxpayer money, and it was extremely shot down. I mean, here people don't want to spend their money on that.
Right.
You know, and what we wanted, I think theirs is $60 million. I think this would have been about $2 million. And we had no chance. So this kind of goes to show people value different things. You know, whatever. I mean,
they love their football in Texas. Plus, everything's bigger in Texas, you know. Everything.
Everything?
Yeah. I mean,
yes, everything.
Okay.
The women in Houston are certainly bigger, that's for sure.
Remember to San Antonio, I it's a nice little town, but a lot of ugly people there. My goodness.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Everything's bigger and uglier in Texas.
I mean, look, if you want to go to Texas, and if you want to find beautiful women in Texas, you can safely go to two cities. You can go to Austin, or you can go. Yeah, wow, it's like we planned that. That was amazing.
Yeah.
You can go to Austin, or you can go to, if you want to meet some spicy Latin women that are going to be slutty, you go to Corpus Christi.
I have been to Corpus Christi. It's
what did you think of the scenery there?
Granted, I was 11 years old at the time, but I liked it.
He didn't even have pubes then, so he wasn't able to look at chicks.
Hey, man. Girls like never mind. I'm not gonna go there. That's gross.
maybe sit that one out.
Yeah.
Almost bigger.
Oh, okay. I don't know if Charlie, I know if you watched an episode or two of Parks and Recreation, Dane. I don't know if you've ever watched
it.
But
I've seen it a few times. Yeah.
Check out Conan tonight, because Nick Offerman, who plays Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec, is going to be on there. He is probably one of the best characters ever on TV. He's hilarious. I'm looking at his
one of the best characters on TV.
If this show runs its course and is on for a while, I think he'll be up there. Like maybe top 100 characters on TV. He'll be on there. But Dane, I think you'd like this. He the season premiere, he was coaching.
Right, with the pyramid, the basketball pyramid,
the Swanson Pyramid of Greatness. So
right,
I'm going to post the Swanson Pyramid of Greatness on our.
I did see that. There was one thing on there that was on there three times, and I forget what it was.
Hold on, let me get back to it. I'm posting it on the Facebook page real quick. It's kind of small, but that's what she said.
Oh boy.
Let's see here. He's got facial hair. Living in the woods. Masonry. Body grooming. Haircuts.
Haircuts are important.
Yeah. Old wooden sailing ships, and under it says they're beautiful.
I mean, it's funny watching it because it's perfect. It's a bunch of lifeless 13-year-olds looking at him like, what the hell is this guy talking about?
Yeah, I just, and I love how he inspired by one Bob Knight.
Right, and he wears even the Bob Knight sweater vest.
Yeah.
Which I thought was just classic. By the way, if anyone cares about this, and maybe they don't, possible upset tonight in high school basketball, Eden Prairie is leading Hopkins by 3 with 28 seconds left.
Wow.
Hopkins is one of the top teams in the country. They have not lost a game yet. They've been blowing everybody out.
In the country?
They're one of the top, 100 teams.
Oh, shit.
Led by Minnesota Gophers recruit Joe Coleman, brother of that stiff Dan Coleman.
Dan Coleman, I was going to say. It sounded familiar.
Back when, when people complain about the Gophers now, and I can understand a little bit, I'm like, just remember when we were trying, when you were watching Dan Coleman and Spencer Tolleson trying to beat, Purdue?
Yeah.
And it's just annoying, Tolleson is on the radio broadcast now. He's the, color guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know, the former athletes that they get, aren't always, the best players.
Right.
Which is why they're broadcasting. But the fact that they get, the softest center in basketball history, and then he'll say something like Trevor Mbakwe needs to be tougher under the basket. And it's like, Tolleson, when's the last time you actually put your butt into someone and boxed him out? Watching Tolleson play basketball was just the most frustrating ordeal ever. He's your prototypical, 6'9", 6'10", white stiff who wants to shoot threes. It's just like, get in there and rebound. So he really just annoys the crap out of me.
Yeah.
Both those radio broadcast guys.
All right, let's wrap this puppy.
This is the end, my only friend, the end.
It's the end of the world as we know it.
What's that?
You want to talk about heartbreak tonight. So I ordered a pizza from Pizza Hut.
This is good.
And I was really craving a 2-liter of Mountain Dew because they come ice cold and they're so good.
Right, right.
And I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm getting. And I'm all excited for it. Got a little semi-hard on in my wind pants.
That's
how excited I am for Mountain Dew. And squeaky voice gives me a call right before the pizza's about to get there. And they're like, oh, dude. I'm like, yeah. We ran out of Mountain Dew.
No!
How do you run out of Mountain Dew? Who checks who orders the frickin' inventory? Go down to the gas station and grab me a 2-liter. What I'm paying you to do is I had to set up for Pepsi.
Oh, geez. You know what's also heartbreaking? Is Corey starting his car and then locking his skis in the car.
Hey,
he
already
did that this morning. He had to call a locksmith.
Let's not get into that at all.
If you had asked me, hey, which roommate do you think locked his keys in the car on a cold morning, I would have guessed Charlie going away.
No, but it was not me. It was Corey.
Well, let's just say I was the Ravens of the 2000 Super Bowl there. I was the clear cut.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, Dateline, Flagstaff, Arizona. Convicted killer who escaped from an Arizona prison said after his capture that he planned to overdose on heroin at Yellowstone National Park and let bears eat him to end the fear and panic he was experiencing while on the lam. Tracy Province told Mojave County Sheriff's Detective Larry Matthews that he wanted to go up on a mountain, shoot up a gram of heroin, and be bear food. As he was preparing the drug, a voice told him not to go through with the plan, and he changed course in favor of trying to hitchhike to Indiana to see his family. He called it divine intervention, Matthews wrote in the August report. Al Nash, a spokesperson at Yellowstone National Park, said it's certainly possible that Province's plan would have worked, but it struck him as improbable. So, I don't know. Charlie, you embarrassed me. I might want to
Why did he want to be bear food?
Well, he was high on heroin, and I guess he was going to take some heroin. I don't know. I've never done heroin before. I don't know how it works.
I haven't either, but it doesn't, don't do it. It's the second most addictive drug, or even as addictive as cocaine. And just the thought of putting a freaking needle in my arm, that's like the biggest reason, the biggest deterrent for me in heroin is like, oh, like who wants to do that?
Right.
Like who actively wants to put a goddamn needle in their arm? And then you have to like watch it. You got to like tie your arm so your vein pops out. And then you got to watch it go in. Oh.
That's what she said.
It's offer.
Offer.
Okay,
oh,
so we're gonna go Super Bowl.
See, that's nice because see the women that I have sex with are so ugly that I try to look away. For most of the
you cannot be serious.
Put a pillow on her face and pretend it's somebody hot. That's
all right.
That's
there you go.
So here's my pick. I'm gonna go.
What do I do?
I'm gonna go Green Bay 31, Pittsburgh 24. My MVP, I think Rodgers is going to account for all of the touchdowns, three passing, one rushing. He'll throw for over 300 yards and get the MVP. Charlie, what is your prediction for Sunday?
Let's see here. I'm going to say 27-20. And you already heard my MVP.
Woodson?
Charles Woodson earlier. And, oh, yeah, Packers are going to win. I
really wasn't going to question that. You with a pick and a touchdown.
Yeah, and a fumble
and, for it. And a force fumble. And then lastly, Dane.
Did you pick your MVP, too, or no? Are we doing that?
He has Woodson.
And you said Rodgers.
I said Rodgers. Dane?
Well, I obviously have to be the contrarian, although the game could go either way.
Yeah,
I'm going to say it is Pittsburgh, 38-35, and I'm going to say the MVP is Mike Wallace. I think he's going to get loose twice. They're not going to want to give it to Ben again. I think, although, you know what? No, I'm going to say Ben gets it. I'm going to say that raping tool, Ben Roethlisberger, gets an MVP trophy he can sodomize some poor girl with. I think Roethlisberger is the MVP. He wins. I think it'll be similar. You know what? I'm going to say it's 38-34.
38-34.
I'm going to say it's not a field goal. Pittsburgh's going to have to score a touchdown. Yeah, 38-35. It's going to be 35-31.
Good Lord.
And Pittsburgh could have to score a touchdown late. And Tremont Williams will tip an interception into the arms of Mike Wallace, and the place will erupt.
Well, we got two Packer victories, and then Dane's throwing the Steeler victory out there. This is going to be a great song because come Monday, hopefully everything will be all right, and the Packers will be bringing Lombardi back to Lambeau Field. We won't be doing a second hour tonight. We're gonna edit right now. But
special show this Sunday.
Sunday live Super Bowl Sunday from the Days Inn parking lot, 1978 Holford Way. Charlie and I will be doing a show live there for about 45 to an hour. Stop by and see us if you're in the area, or if you want to watch me back. And I guess. we'll let Mr. Jimmy Buffett end it, and all we gotta say is go Pack on Sunday.
Go Packers.
It'll be alright. Come Monday, I'll be holding you tight. I spent four lonely days in a brown LA haze, and I just want you back by my side. I can't help it, honey, you're that much a part of me now. Remember that night in Montana when we said there'd be no room for doubt? I hope you're enjoying the scenery. I know that it's pretty up there. We can go hiking on Tuesday.
come Monday, I'll be holding you tight. I spent four lonely days in a brown L.A. haze, and I just want you back by my side.
Oakley,
Doakley.